2202.
I hope you had a fabulous weekend. I know some of you probably baked in the temperatures across the Southwest and the South anyway. Boy, we have an exciting show for you. We're going to talk about everything from the CIA and the doom and gloom that is now raining down upon that organization, and ultimately some that want to go after Dick Cheney for not informing them about one of the groups that was formed, one of the programs that was formed in the CIA after September 11th. Lots of different thoughts floating around about that. Perhaps that's the biggest buzz coming out of the Beltway right now. So we're going to let you hear what a couple of senators had to say on some of the Sunday shows. It dominated a lot of the Sunday conversation. Besides that, there are a couple of things happening outside, would you believe it, of Washington, D.C. that we'll hit on. Maybe you made it to the movie theaters this past week, and if you did, perhaps Bruno was on the menu for you. And you get the idea, right? Sacha Baron Cohen fools people. He did it with Borat, and now he's doing it with another character named Bruno. And where my little studio is based, at least my satellite studio in Dallas, Texas, some of the people, once again, in that fair city were duped by this character and not too happy about it. Don't know if you caught that or not. Did pretty decent at the box office. So probably when it's all said and done, if I were looking at a crystal ball in the movie industry, what they're pegging it to make at the box office, at least $50 million, not bad for a movie where you basically create a character and you punk people. You punk people across the nation and internationally, too, in some cases. This week is a huge week when it comes to the Supreme Court, at least the future of the Supreme Court, because Sonia Sotomayor will be grilled on the Hill, at least in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee, the hearing there. And you know affirmative action is going to be top of the list. That's going to be hot for her. And also Frank Ritchie, who was part of that New Haven, Connecticut firefighters case that the Supreme Court decided in their favor, if you remember, saying that they were discriminated upon because their test results were thrown out. This probably will be the biggest thorn in her side. When it's all said and done, do I think Sotomayor, even if there is a GOP wall put up in front of her, do I think that she will be the next Supreme Court justice? I would have to say yes. The deck is actually stacked in her favor, but she has to go through the grilling process. And since we've only really seen photographs and a wave of the hand and a few little words here and there, you don't, other than her rulings and other than what people say about her colleagues or people who have seen some of her work have to say, or of course dissecting some of what she's done, speeches, etc., really, what do you know about Sonia Sotomayor? We'll get to know her quite well, I would say, at least over the next week and a half, maybe 2 weeks. I don't know how long they'll take with her. I know that the firefighters case, after talking to a couple of attorneys, and no doubt we all know this, having talked about it on America Tonight, again, this will be the biggest thing that she will most likely have to deal with. All right, now back to that program that I mentioned that Dick Cheney now is under fire for, the alleged deal with the CIA. CIA Director Leon Panetta, as you know, testified to a congressional committee at the end of June that he was told that former VP Cheney ordered the intelligence agency to not give out any info about this secret counterterrorism program from Congress. Everybody has an opinion on this, because remember, now eight people basically can get briefed on some of what the CIA is doing. And of course, many want to see that number jump to 40. Now this comes out about what is it? What is the program that we're talking about? A lot of people originally thought, and I think I was one of them the first day it was announced, that it had to do with the enhanced interrogation stuff. But it doesn't have anything to do with that. It's a completely separate program. apparently. So now a lot of people upset and think that Dick Cheney should have to answer for this. Panetta, immediately as soon as he found out about it, canceled the program and told Congress what was going on. So a couple of different takes on that. Here's what Senator Alexander had to say.
But what I'm hearing from the Democratic members of the House is tell us all, tell more of us about it. If the eight leaders think what Vice President Cheney did was inappropriate, they should sit down with the new president and the new CIA director and say, we'd like to know more. That's the way to fix that problem.
All right, Senator Judd Gregg, Republican from New Hampshire, has talked about the CIA, like I say, getting thrown under the bus, and ultimately what he wants from this organization. But specifically on this, here's what he had to say.
That there's no question that's not appropriate. But the problem here is different than that, in my opinion. This continued attack on the CIA and our intelligence gathering organizations is undermining the morale and the capacity of those organizations to gather intelligence. The war we're in today is a war of intelligence. The only way we're going to stop a terrorist from using a weapon of mass destruction against us is to find out who that terrorist is and what they have before they attack us. The only way we're going to get that information is through intelligence gathering. We have to have an extraordinarily robust and strong CIA, an extraordinarily robust and strong intelligence gathering organization. And this national attempt by some of our colleagues on the other side of the aisle to basically undermine the capacity to protect and develop intelligence is, I think, so, going to harm us in the long run.
So
now, yes, this is wrong. What if somebody told the CIA not to inform the appropriate members of Congress on information they should be informed of, that's wrong. But that isn't a reason to disassemble the CIA
and make
them a whipping child in the middle of the public opinion, which undermines the morale of the whole agency.
All right, and certainly we've talked about that a lot here on America Tonight with a couple of different people who are keyed into the CIA, and they think it's outrageous what's happened to the CIA. And here we go again. Problem is, okay, this program, supposedly this counterterrorism program, was initiated, as I said, right on the heels of September 11th. Now, the deal is it was on again, off again, and I guess never fully operational. We don't know all the details of it because it's a secret, but it was a tool that was apparently in the arsenal of the CIA that they could have used, but really didn't use it. So now we're talking about something that wasn't really used, but wasn't of common knowledge, at least to anyone on the Hill. And that's the part that a lot of people are struggling with. But how much of this has to do with Nancy Pelosi and the whole thing with Nancy Pelosi once again? If you remember, there's been this crazy spat, maybe more than a spat, that's happened with Pelosi saying that she didn't know about waterboarding, but yet the briefing supposedly says that she did know about waterboarding. I really think a lot of this stems from this. And the problem is, he is absolutely right. Greg is absolutely right, America, when he says, how much do you want to undermine this organization and the morale of it? I'll tell you what, I wouldn't work for the CIA. What if I had all the credentials and I could be a top dog and make pretty decent money and knew a couple different languages? Would I really want to constantly be looking over my shoulder this way? Now, you could say, well, that's part of the job, but you have to be backed by your government, right? We'll have a lot on this tonight, so think about it. Coming up next, though, we're talking about something completely different. Mortgages. Are you underwater on a mortgage? Are you looking at a house? We're going to talk about it next on ATN.
Your relationships are a mirror of you.
That's good news, because it means you have the power to effect positive change in the quality of love you create in your life.
It's all up to you.
Join us, Joseph and Sarah Malinak, for Creating Your Ideal Relationship on WebTalkRadioNetwork.com.
We'll help you create loving, ideal relationships. Give us a listen at WebTalkRadioNetwork.com.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237 The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and help us win this battle.
Hey everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. What happens when you're upside down on your mortgages and you're in debt? Let's compare that to Michael Jackson and the fact that Michael Jackson, everybody keeps wondering, well, if he's $400 million in debt, his estate, what happens? Who's stuck with this? How does this turn around? And when you can generate so much income, how do you get that far upside down? And it's also amazing when you look at the number 400 million, it's completely different than Main Street America, right? But at the same time, how many people get so backwards on mortgages and with credit cards, etc., that they feel like they might as well be drowning with $400 million debt because they have no way to get out. Kurt Sheets, financial advisor, joins us now here on The Big Show. Hey, Kurt, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
You know, that really was the question about the $400 million in debt. If he was making, and that was one of the first things I thought, why do they keep saying this figure? But then I look at the money that he made with the Beatles and all the catalogs and stuff that he had. And supposedly I started to hear people talk about what a shrewd businessman he was. And then I thought, well, how are you $400 million in debt? How do you get that backwards? What was it that does it to you when you get to that level?
It doesn't matter what level you're at. It's called just broke at a different level. It's if you're upside down, you're spending more than you make. It doesn't matter if you're making $10 and you're spending $11, or if you're making $25 million and spending $30 million. It really doesn't matter at the fact of how much you make. It's always been how much you save. That's what makes a wealthy person, is how much they save, not how much they make. There's people that have made no more than $35,000, $40,000 in their whole life per year and end up to be millionaires when they retire. So it really doesn't matter at that point. And that's the conception that people have. They go, gosh, how could he be such in debt, making the massive amounts of money that he has? It's because he spent more each year than he ever made. And here's the thing. When you make more money, you have more accessibility to credit. See, creditors will extend you more money because of your capabilities of earning money. And so they can actually be more harmful than the person that doesn't make that much, because your creditors are eventually going to go, you know what, we can't extend any more credit to you. With him, they knew that he was an endless amount of source of income, based on his talents and his ability to earn money, so they extended more credit to him. And that's basically what happens with somebody that is in that predicament, is they get to the point where creditors extend more and more and more, and eventually it just overwhelms them.
Yeah. And then the creditors, you know, usually, like, let's say you're married and your husband dies and leaves you with a debt. Well, you got to pay that debt off, right?
In some cases, depends on who's secured with the debt. In other words, if you're community property, like in Nevada, that's a community property state, most of the time, if you are joint on the note. Now, if you're not joint on the note, it's very difficult to go after somebody else because there's no secured. It's like anything else. It's a secured note. Now, if it's against property, then the property is the secured. It doesn't matter who is owning the property. The property is the secured on the note. But any private, what I consider personal loans that were loaned to Michael Jackson, they're going to be out of luck because there's nobody else held responsible for that paper.
Oh, and you wonder how many of those type of loans there are. Probably a ton in his case.
Most people will loan money to you. They want some sort of security. I know that he put up his, you talked about the Beatles collection. The Beatles collection is actually collateralized. So, in other words, there's loans against that Beatles collection. So, even though the Beatles collection he owns, it's just like anything else. He's put that up as collateral for security, which means that is obtainable to people that have credit against him. Is they can use that as collateral. Any of his property is definitely collateral if he's used that as collateral.
Yeah.
For instance, if I have a credit card debt, they can't go after my house. And my house can't go after, you know, my mortgage that holds my house can't go after my personal savings. They can only go as deep as what's secured. So if you're an unsecured lender, even bankruptcy will basically exonerate you and you're done. You're out. You don't get to play in the game.
Yeah. And, you know, and then, of course, you think about the kids, because with the little girl stepping up at the memorial service, people are wondering, well, what happens to the kids? Now, if money starts to roll in just like at Elvis's estate did, Lisa Marie would obviously get a chunk of that. Is that what happens with these kids, or it all depends on that will situation?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the difference between Elvis. A lot of people have said, well, it's kind of the same as Elvis. Here's my take on that. Elvis, number one, his estate wasn't as complicated. Number one, he only had one wife, Priscilla. That's it. And he only had one daughter, Lisa Marie. And they were it was basically their daughter together. The other thing is Priscilla and them was not in what I consider bad standings. They weren't mad at each other. They didn't hate each other. So there was not this conflict. When he passed away, Priscilla basically took over the estate and managed it to the level it's at now. I mean, she had really good people around her. I think the Jackson situation is a lot more complicated. Number one, there's not a definitive mother. Now, you've got some people claiming, you know, naturally you have the birth mother, and that's even questionable because she stepped out a couple of times. And then you've got the grandmother that wants to take care of the children. There's just a lot more complicated structure in the Jackson's case.
Yeah, so what can we take from this? I think there's things that you can learn from this. As I was saying, Main Street is a different amount of money, but upside down is upside down. Number one, as a financial man, wouldn't you recommend a will to everybody? You know, to the common guy? Oops. Maybe we lost him. I don't know. Are you still with us? I think we lost, unfortunately, our guest. We'll see if we can get Kurt back with us. Somehow he got cut off. But in reading the Michael Jackson stuff and in trying to make the comparison, that's what I was trying to do here, you think, well, it's different. It might be differing amounts. You might only be upside down, whatever it is, $250,000. But what does that do to your family? And then if you have some assets in breaking it up, the significance of having a will, what the difference is if you don't have a will, what the state actually ends up doing without that will. I think we have Kurt back. Somehow the gremlins got on the line. Kurt.
Yeah, I was there. I could hear you. I don't know what happened to the line. Anyway,
I was asking the question about the will.
Totally different than a will.
Uh-huh.
Because the will is it's a structure part of the living trust. A living trust actually puts property and and belongings into a trust, which means it's no longer your belongings. So it lives forever. That's the difference. When you die, the trust actually is an entity that stays on forever. So whatever you put in that trust, whether it be property, whether it be the distinction of who's going to take care of your children, how your children are going to get dispersed of funds, how much they're going to get each, and when they're going to get that, that's all disclosed in a living trust. Okay. A will basically says, this is the will that I have that says, and most wills are basically for disclosure of what do I want done medically to me. In other words, you have a certain thing, you have a living will, which says, if I go under medical care, this is what I want to happen. Okay. So the will is very vague. The other thing, a will can be contested. It goes through probate. No matter what you, wherever you are, wills are always contested and they always have to go through probate. Living trust never goes through probate because you've already deeded everything into the living trust, so it's already taken care of. There's no contesting it. And this is where his challenge is. This will be contested by everybody that is remotely attached to him for financial reasons, for future financial reasons. You ask what the kids are going to be taking care of. Well, how much are the kids going to get
right.
per year? Are they going to be handed the whole estate? They can't take on the estate now. Who pays the bills prior to this? This is a big challenging thing that they have, and it's very complicated. In his structure, it's even massively more complicated.
Mm-hmm.
I advise people that I talk to that if they don't have a living trust, get one immediately. If you have children, get one. Here's the other thing. What they don't realize, here's the challenging thing that he has, is even though he said that, well, I want my mother to take care of the children. Okay, but what happens when his mother dies? She can't deed that responsibility to anybody else.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He has to. See, in my living trust, I have a living trust. Everything that I have is already deeded into the trust. And it says, my daughter shall be taking care of this individual. If that individual cannot, do those duties anymore or refuses to do those duties, this person takes care of her. And if that person, this person, I go at least four people deep.
Right.
If it gets
so you
beyond that,
coverage.
What am I going to do? You can't fix the world. And it also discloses how much of my estate gets distributed to her at what time.
Right, right. Excellent. Great advice, Kurt Sheets. Join us again sometime down the line, will you, to give us more financial advice?
I'd love to. It'd be my pleasure.
All right, thanks. Kurt Sheets talking about really what you could learn from Michael Jackson. Odds and Ends next on ATN.
You down?
Scared you might lose your job?
Worry how you will provide for your family?
Do you worry where your money will come from? You know that the economy is getting worse,
but there is hope.
Robert Beadle's new book, Here's What You Do, tells you what to do and how to do it. Even a 10-year-old can figure it out after reading this 72-page book. And the best part? This book is priced under $10. Don't be the victim. Be a victor. Go to hereswhatyoudo.net. That's hereswhatyoudo.net. Again, hereswhatyoudo.net.
Wondering about your retirement? Portfolio? Is your financial advisor experienced enough to combat rising interest rates, taxes, inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. With 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations, who needs sugar-coated excuses? Get the cold hard facts and a proven investment strategy. For a free introductory copy to the International Forecaster, call 877-479-8178 or go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home, paycheck, and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. We also provide mortgage modification services, which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure problems, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride Flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride Flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride Flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
About when people travel to Spain at the right time of year to see the running of the bulls in Pamplona. But do you really want to get gored by a bull? You have to ask yourself that as a tourist or as a native of that area. Hey, everybody, Kate hanging with you here on America Tonight. We will go closer to home, as I promised we would, for odds and ends. But I just started to think about that as somebody who traveled to Spain and saw that spectacle. I don't get it. There were 10 people that were injured, two of them pretty seriously, because they did the bull run on Sunday. There was a man gored to death a couple of days ago. The two that were most badly hurt were the Spanish guys. They had injuries, I guess, to the neck and chest, etc., after being gored. The doctors felt like surgery could save their lives. Wow. Then you had a guy from England who was injured by one of the guides. They have these bull guides that have poles where they stop people from getting too close to the animals. They try to help them, kind of. It's a weird sight. You've seen video of it probably on one of your news stations at some point in your life because it comes around every year and it's just fascinating to so many people. Well, he was apparently nailed by the guide with the pole. So he got it in the back. And then there were a couple of other people that were injured. And do you know, surprisingly, since they did have done this, they've done it since 1911, that there was the first that was fatally gored to death was in 95. A 22-year-old American was killed. And then there was a kid the other day, a Spanish kid, who died after being gored right in front of thousands of tourists, and he was actually the 15th person to die. Most of the injuries actually come when people fall to stay ahead of the bulls racing through the streets. And, of course, then they go down, and then you have these animals right on top of them. So you have a French guy in critical condition. You have another English guy hurt. You have a couple of Americans hurt. Man, I wonder, they've done it since 1911. There are people starting to protest. Animal rights groups are protesting. And it's this annual thing where people come from all over the place to watch the bulls run because it's just so, I mean, it's just so odd. It's so crazy. But, and they've only had that many injuries if you think of how many times they've done it, but enough that there are people calling for them to stop it. I don't know. Do you think, what's the fascination, Matt, with the running of the bulls? Just that it's scary and
it's a thrill ride. You know, it's all about getting your adrenaline pumping, and it's kind of like, you know, skydiving, but you know, you've got that fear or a chance of death and a chance of, you know, something bad happening. So I think that's what it's all about. Is just it's all about the adrenaline running. It's an adrenaline junkie's type of, I don't know if it's a sport, a spectacle, event.
Yeah, but let me ask you this. There's a difference. I'm sure there are people listening to us right now, and you know what I'm talking about. You're weekend warriors. Like, you'll ride your bike however many miles. You'll really push the athletic limits, even if your body can't do it. But I think you can get an adrenaline rush from that. But there's a difference between risk-taking, and I think there's some people that you're right, there is the thrill, and they're willing to do that, knowing that, yeah, I might not survive this, but I'm going for it. If I jump out of the plane, if I bungee jump, yes, it's pretty safe, but then there's this guy that died when his parachute didn't open and even did a tandem jump, or we all know stories like that constantly. You'll maybe every couple of months hear that about skydiving. So that's a good question. Would you push it to the limit? If you're in a situation where, you're on vacation, you have a chance to do this, would you just watch the bulls or would you jump in front of them? Would you just watch the bungee jumpers go over the gorge, or would you bungee jump and have no fear about it and not worry about it? Would you watch the people jumping out of the plane, or would you jump out of the plane yourself?
I think another thing, it's about the machismo factor, you know.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Being able to say, oh, I ran with the bulls in Spain and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's a good bar story is what it is, you know, just to go out and, you know, be talking to the women or something like that. And it's a good thing to, you know, tell people and just prove how macho and, you know, what a stud you are.
Macho, macho man, baby. I'm ready to run with bulls. Just don't want to get gored and fall on my face because somebody in front of me was too slow. I mean, if you think about the guy that was so young in 95, just going over there having a good time. Hey, Mom, how you doing? I'm okay. Calling back. I'm going to go to Pamplona, watch the running of the bulls. And then that's it. Boom. History. Ooh. Curtains. Guess when your time is up, even if it's something risky that you've done. Like I said, I get the thrill. I get the difference between the thrill, the adrenaline, and then how much are you willing to push it. Well, if you weren't watching the running of the bulls, because probably you wouldn't be listening to us if you were, although we do have some people actually that listen to us in Spain. The time is right for them as they are, I think it's like an 8-hour time difference. Time is always the thing that just seems to be against these launches sometimes. Time, the weather, you have to have massive patience, I think, to work for NASA, especially if you work in the control center as an engineer, any of that kind of stuff, or an astronaut, let's face it. Besides having the courage to be able to know that, yes, you might be making your last flight, even though it only happens every once in a while, you still have to have a lot of patience, too. So NASA scrubbed the launch of the space shuttle Endeavour for the second straight day because of the weather. And there's storms all around the Kennedy Space Center. They were worried how that would affect the launch. So that's what they do. They scrub it. They don't take the risks of that happening. Whenever there's storms involved, there's no way they can do it. And ultimately, when they scrub these launches, you wonder, how much does this cost every single time? You got everyone ready to go, and whoops, day one, day two. The thing is, I think if you get too deep and you're talking about going longer than a couple of days, then it starts to cost them that much more. So it's called off for Sunday. They're going to launch it on Monday at 6:51. Very cool if you live in Florida, anywhere near that space center. Sometimes they say even a little bit away from the space center, you can still see that trail and you know exactly what it is. So they're going to bring them back. So this flight was put off after lightning hit 11 times near the launch pad. Yeah, lightning. That was the big thing. Forget about it. And this is just a 16-day run. They're going to have 5 spacewalks, and they're going to install a laboratory porch. So this is kind of a hop, skip, and a jump. For the rest of us, it wouldn't be. But for the astronauts, it certainly is. So it'll be kind of like a construction site, if you can expand your mind to think of that. But you have astronauts in spacesuits with crawling around with those robotic arms, and they don't have the cranes, and they're just working on that porch, trying to get it installed. So they're carrying in their cargo bay 2 platforms, which this Kibo lab is already up there, and it's part of the space station. One platform rides up and back on the shuttle. The other stays permanently fixed to the lab for scientific experiments that require that exposure. So thus you have the porch there. They also call this the Japanese experiment module because it's Japan's first human space facility and has taken like 2 decades. They've been talking about this for 2 decades and now here it is. So the Endeavour has 7 astronauts and that piece of equipment that is very, very vital. If you remember, Endeavour's launch had to be postponed twice last month because of the liquid hydrogen leak. So they have to be 100%. I mean, that's the deal. Any of the managers, whenever you see them on the tube, or if you've ever watched space, if you ever watched the program, if you're one of the people that's fascinated by it, you know this. If they don't feel like across the board the systems are right, of course they're not gonna launch it. And if you've got all those lightning strikes, there's absolutely no way they would take that risk. This might be controversial for some listening to us. You think talking about patience and risks and all that sort of stuff, kind of the theme here. Well, when you're in the military, you got a lot of time to kill. Even if you're right on the front lines, you just don't know how long. And you think of movies you've seen, you think maybe you served in the military, so you know what I'm talking about. I can remember seeing pictures of my grandfather, who never smoked when I was a kid, with cigarettes because he served. And you see pictures of soldiers with a cigarette dangling from their mouth. But they've got this new study that the Pentagon ordered and the Department of Veterans Affairs, and they're recommending a ban on tobacco. So that would end tobacco sales on military bases in the United States, obviously, too. And it would forbid smoking by anyone in uniform, not even combat troops in the thick of battle. This sounds weird for me to say this because you think of cancer and you think of the things that can result in cigarette smoking. But I think of guys on the front line who could be blown up, lose a limb, don't know what they're encountering. Think of Afghanistan and they don't have a cigarette to smoke. They're a wreck. It does something to calm them down. Anybody who smokes, you probably know better than I do because I don't smoke. But what the smoking psychologically does for you. And they're also saying that smokeless tobacco use can lead to problems, pancreatic cancer and oral problems, that stuff. So they're talking about that as well. I don't know. This is a good, fair, or foul. Do you think it's wrong to ban cigarette smoke in the military, especially, like I said, think of combat troops right there in the middle of battle? 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. I'll meet you on the flip side.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Are you concerned for the safety of your loved ones? Listen closely to this message from pepperspray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed. America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart. Be safe. Trust Pepper Spray instead of your luck. Pepperspray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. Pepperspray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. Pepperspray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Enter SAFE in the coupon box and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to pepperspray.com. That's pepperspray.com. Or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
Would you give someone $100 for a $10 bill? If you're taking vitamins and minerals in a pill form, that's exactly what you're doing. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman. According to the Physician's Desk Reference, many vitamins and minerals in a pill form are 10% absorbed. It doesn't take a mathematician to figure out for every $100 you spend on these pills, you're flushing $90 down the toilet. Start absorbing the nutrients you swallow. Introducing Chews for Health, a delicious-tasting chewable containing 16 superfruits, sea vegetables, and antioxidants. You know, you work hard for your money. Isn't it time to start getting what you pay for? Order today. 1-800-210-1922. With Chews for Health, your body gets to keep the nutrients you swallow. The first 300 callers are going to receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchews.com.
I'd have to think that some in uniform would not be pleased with the idea of a ban on tobacco. Like I said, it sounds strange to say it, but it's not so strange when you think about the stress that you go through when you serve in some dicey areas. So what is the stress relief? Unfortunately, it has to be smoking. So it has to be, right? So what do you take away? When you take that away, what are you going to replace it with? If the Pentagon is supporting this tobacco-free military, yikes, for the people that smoke and for the people that take it up when they're scared to, not scared to death, but when they know that they just have to press on and have eyes in the back of their head when they're on the front lines or combing through villages, especially where so much of our military, the front lines, is right now, but anywhere. I know that there's people listening to me who served in Vietnam. Maybe there's people that served in Korea. Like I said, my grandfather, my uncles, you know, my great uncles, I'd say the same thing. As a kid and now as an adult, I don't see them smoking at all. I played golf with my uncle a couple of times, and he was in the military, was in the Navy, and you see old photographs of him, and he had a pack of cigarettes. My grandfather, not a smoker, had cigarettes. because he was guarding prisoners. He was in the Philippines. So that's what they do to relieve the stress. Think about the stereotypes from the movies, the playing cards, the smoking cigarettes, etc. So, I mean, sure, it sounds, like I mentioned, odd to say, geez, keep on smoking, boys. Keep on doing that. Guys, women that are serving, all of you that are serving. But the deal is, if one in three active duty soldiers smoke, oh, among the general population, boy, it's going to be tough. They're going to have a lot of money pressed for tobacco programs, too. So, and then you think of tobacco sales rather in the military. One of the things that I saw was that the profits from tobacco sales, check this out, 80 million to 90 million. But guess what happens with that? It pays for some of that rec stuff and some of the family programs on the base. So you'd be killing that too. Yeah. See, because the commissaries sell the cigarettes at some pretty decent prices. So that, you know, they're discounted. While the Pentagon might have banned smoking in buildings on bases a while ago, I'm thinking that this is going to be pretty tough. I mean, it's going to be pretty tough on the soldiers. Now, it's not going to happen overnight, certainly, but I can't imagine that it's going to be popular by any stretch of the imagination. If you want to throw in your 2 cents, you can flip me an email at americatonight.net or jingle the digits 800-259-5791. This story got a lot of headlines from my hometown, Philadelphia. There was this swim club that now is, I guess, for lack of a better way to describe it, as I saw the headline on CNN's website or somewhere else, they're offering kind of an olive branch. They're inviting kids at largely minority daycares to come back. And so what happened was, some of the club members have been accused of making racist comments to black and Hispanic kids. It's the Valley Club, and they had revoked pool privileges, they said, out of crowding and safety concerns, but guess who most of the kids were? So it really opened up a horrible Pandora's box on this. Well, first of all, the kids felt awful. And then this Valley Club in Huntington Valley, PA, where the club members are now, some of them had no idea what hit them, are trying desperately to work out something with this daycare center because, you know, they've been accused of making these really brutal comments. And they're trying to work out, as they said, safety issues. So swimming privileges, if you don't know what I'm talking about, for about 65 kids from a place called Creative Steps were pulled away after they first visited, which was only June 29th. And what some of the kids said is that the white people at the club made remarks to the children asking why black children were there and also said they might steal from us. So what happened was a couple days later, the daycare had paid for this service to be able to use the pool. They paid almost $2,000 and the check was returned. Ooh, nasty business, like I said. And what the club had accepted was a 10-to-1 ratio of children to adults. And so now they're considering adding lifeguards and all this other stuff. But, yeah, something was going on there. Obviously some of the people said some things they should not have, they should not have said, right? So, hello. That's what happens. They overhear it. You boot the kid, you send the check back. I mean, it would have to be offensive. It would have to be that something was cooking there. If they couldn't supervise the kids, that's one thing. If they didn't estimate the amount of kids or if they underestimated them and how many would participate, well, that's fine, too, but that could have been worked out in a much better way. So instead, there is this back and forth about what really happened. In fact, even the Pennsylvania Human Rights Commission actually decided to investigate after the racism stuff started to circulate at this Valley Club. And they'll listen to the two sides, and they'll have to sit down face-to-face, I guess, with the investigators and sort it all out. But If I were the person who was heading this club and I was blindsided with this course, what do? No doubt you have to figure out a way to get the kids back, but the check was sent back. You're saying it's overcrowding. Yeah, it does not look good. Big doings on the Hill. I mentioned this already, that probably the biggest story politically, at least for the next couple of days, is going to be this thing with Sonia Sotomayor, and ultimately whether or not she is approved as the next Supreme Court justice. I mean, I'll say the same thing that I said when we first kicked off this hour. What are the things that she's going to be grilled on? Well, affirmative action, obviously ethnic backgrounds, and whether there's favoritism toward that in some of her judgments. You know, if there was preferential treatment for certain groups, the New Haven, Connecticut firefighter situation, especially since the Supreme Court decided that they were discriminated against, the white firefighters, that will heavily be brought up, and maybe some other judgments and whatnot that she made. I think really it's going to be the big press, at least from some of the Republican senators who will be involved in this, is going to be about her judgment and whether or not she can just, you know, go on the letter of the law. And, you know, we talked about this before. How do you say somebody is completely objective in what they do? She would be the first Supreme Court Hispanic judge at 55. And obviously, the hearings should last probably about a week, maybe a week and a half, I think I said this, and then vote by the full Senate, but that hasn't even been scheduled yet. Should happen, could happen, maybe not, but could happen before they get out for the August break. It'll be pretty tight. See, 1, 2, 3 weeks, couple of weeks to play with, so maybe she'll know whether she's in or not. I would think she's in. This is interesting, too. She would be the 111th person to sit on that court. Yeah. She got a good luck telephone call on Sunday from President Obama. And Obama complimented her for making calls to 89 senators, and she discussed her adherence to the rule of law throughout her 17 years on the federal bench. So she knows this is obviously going to be a sticking point, whether or not her heritage is going to unfairly affect her rulings. Like I said, that's where the GOP is going to lean. And we'll have all of it for you here on America Tonight.